First Kings chapter 19, and of course, as we look at this first chapter of Kings, or chapter, First Kings chapter 19, we know that Elijah's been on the run. He had that great meeting at Mount Carmel, and he prayed far down and showed all of Israel that Jehovah was God, put Baal in his place, took him down to the brook and, you know, chopped his head off. He took him down the brook and he killed all of Jezebel's preachers. And Jezebel got mad about it. I'm really kind of hurrying along here. She got real mad about it, and she went on the chase, and Elijah run out into the wilderness of Beersheba. He knows how deadly she is. He knows just how deadly she is, and he goes on the run. And how many of you know it's possible for God's stalwart ministries to go on the run? That's what happened to him. And so he's out there in the wilderness of Beersheba. He's upset. He's depressed. I mean, he burned out with ministry. He gets up under the juniper tree. Yeah, some writers call it the broom tree. He gets up under the juniper tree and he starts sulking and, you know, pouring out all of his complaints to the Lord. And he's really depressed. And actually, he's prayed and said, "Lord, I'm not burning my father's. Just take my life from me." So he's really upset. But the Lord didn't leave him upset. And Lord, have you ever been upset? I have. But the Lord didn't leave me upset. He didn't leave Elijah upset. He said, "I've got more ministry for you." He dispatched heaven's best angelic chef to come down and bake him a pone of bread, put a cruse of water in his head, refreshed him, fed him, refreshed him, and shook him and got him up, but he still wasn't revived. And, you know, of course, he repeated the action the second time and got him up and got him rolling, got him going. And he goes 40 days in the strength of that bread. He travels 40 days through the wilderness in the strength of that bread. And he gets to Mount Carmel, or he gets to Mount Horeb. And when he gets to Mount Horeb, which is probably Mount Horeb. And so there, you know, he experiences the storm on the mountain, and, you know, the storm really hits the mountain, and the lightning is striking, and the earth is quaking, and the fire is about to burn the mountain down. And he runs in a cave. It's actually Mount Sinai. He runs into the cave, same cave that Moses went in, the cleft of the rock. He goes in that cave and wraps his head in a mantle. He's got his head wrapped in a mantle. And he hears the Lord voice speak to him and say, "I want you to anoint Hazael to be king over Syria. And I want you to anoint Jehu to be king over Israel." And he said, "I want you to anoint Elisha, the son of Shaphat, to be a prophet in your room. Anoint Elisha, the son of Shaphat, to be a prophet in your room or in your place." So that's what he does. That's what he does. And if you follow the scripture down here to about verse number 15, in this passage of scripture, about verse number 19. "So he departed thence and found Elisha, the son of Shaphat, who was plowing with 12 yoke of oxen before him. And he with the 12th. And Elijah passed by him and cast his mantle upon him. And he left the oxen." He left the oxen. Get my glasses on here. "And he left the oxen and he ran after Elijah and said, 'Let me, I pray thee, kiss my father and my mother, and then I'll follow thee.' And he said unto him, 'Go back again. What have I done to thee?' And he returned back from him, and he took a yoke of oxen and slew them and boiled their flesh with the instruments of the oxen and gave unto the people, and they did eat. Then he arose and went after Elijah and ministered unto him." Notice in this passage of scripture, Elijah takes his mantle and he casts his mantle upon Elisha. His mantle, as I've studied it, was like it was a fur cloak and probably with a long, wide leather strap. He takes this mantle and he casts it upon Elisha. And so Elisha now is plowing with 12 yoke of oxen. He's no doubt a rancher. He's farming a great farm. He's a plowboy. And when Elijah casts this mantle upon him, the first thing he did was he killed those oxen and sacrificed them to the Lord. He kills those oxen and sacrificed them to the Lord. He chopped up those plows. He had a feast and celebrated his departure and kissed his mama and his daddy goodbye, and he followed the man of God, Elijah. He pursued the man of God, Elijah. Boy, you know, I've thought about that. What a strange story or event. You know, he never spoke a word to him. He never, that I've read, he never said a word to him. He just cast his mantle on him. Evidently, Elisha was no doubt a student of history, and he knew about Elijah. He knew about all the miracles of Elijah, the life of Elijah. When he cast that mantle upon him, he immediately pursued Elijah. Keep in mind, when he cast that mantle upon him, yeah, that was Elijah's mantle, but how many of you know who gave Elijah that mantle? It was the Lord's mantle. And so he follows Elijah. And if you read 2 Kings chapter 2, he followed him from Gilgal. I mean, this is a pretty long journey. This is a pretty good trip. He followed him to Gilgal. Gilgal speaks of the beginning of things. He follows him. He pursues him. And so when Elijah got ready to leave Gilgal, he said, just stick around here. And he said, I'm going on down to Bethel. I'm going to travel down to Bethel. He said, oh, no, not on your life. As I live and as the Lord lives, I'm going to Bethel with you. And he pursued him all the way to Bethel. Now, keep in mind, Elijah has already cast his mantle upon Elisha. Now, this mantle has had great effect upon him, enough effect upon him. He's already sacrificed his oxen. He's already had a feast. He's already kissed his mom and dad goodbye. And he says, he's pursued after Elijah, the man of God, the prophet of fire. And so they leave Gilgal to go to Bethel. Notice where he took him. He took him through Bethel. He took him through the house of God. He took him through the house of God. How many of you know we gotta take a trip through the house of God? We gotta have a Bethel experience. He wanted Elisha to have an on fire church Bethel experience. Amen. How many of you realize in Genesis 28, I mean, when Jacob had left home and he was en route to Uncle Laban's house, he stopped there at Bethel and laid his head on a rock, which that was his pillow. And while he's laying his head there on a rock in depression and thinking, you know, what in the world, where am I at and what am I going to do? He says a ladder appears before him. And man, that ladder, when it appeared before him, he said, I see angels ascending up that ladder and angels coming down that ladder. And he said, man, what them angels were doing is carrying the life of Jacob up that ladder to God, and God was sending the message back down for Jacob's future. And so he lays his head on that rock, And he said, man, this is none other but the house of God. I'm at Bethel. This is the house of God. And later it was named El Bethel, meaning God was the God of the house of God. He takes him through Bethel. He takes him through a church experience, a real relationship with the church or God's people. And so Elijah says to Elisha, he said, just tarry here. Stick around here at Bethel. I'm going down to Jericho. You just stick around here. And he said, not on your life. He knowed what the promise was. He said, if you see me when I go up, you can have a double portion of the Spirit and the power of God that's upon me. He knowed what the promise was. And the sons of the prophets knew what the promise was. And so he said, not on your life. No, I'm going on down to Jericho with you. And they left Bethel, and they traveled several miles on down to Jericho. Jericho's a beautiful place. Jericho's a city of palms. Jericho speaks of wealth. Jericho, it speaks of a vacation center. Amen. It's a great place. But he took him down through Jericho. And when they got done visiting at Jericho, he said, you just stay here at Jericho. I'm going on down to Jordan. Pretty good day's journey. I'm going on down to Jordan. And when I think about him going on down to Jordan, Jordan speaks of the finishing of anything. It speaks of the finishing of the trip. And so he said, I'm going down to Jordan. He said, you stick around. No, he said, if you go, I'm going. Not on your life. As my soul lives, and I'm going with you. And certainly that's what he did. He pursued the man of God, Elijah. He wouldn't let him out of his sight. Where Elijah went, Elisha went. Amen. He pursued the man of God, Elijah. Poured water over his hands for 9 years. Washed his hands for 9 years. I read where he actually pursued him, had relations with him probably for 16 years. But for 9 years, he poured water over the man of God, Elijah's hand. He helped him set his meetings up. I mean, Elijah run the school of the prophets. These weren't ignorant men. These were studied men, learned men. Dedicated man, Holy Ghost filled man. And so, yeah, he's pursuing him. They're going down to Jordan. And man, all of a sudden, before they get to Jordan, man, there's a chariot of fire appears. A chariot of fire appears. A horses of fire appears. A chariot of fire. And horses of fire. You ever think about that? Chariot of fire, and horses of fire. How many of you realize, can you get this in your mind? Chariot of fire, horses of fire. I can see a chariot, and I can see horses, but now I'm chariots of fire, horses. That's divine stuff. I mean, that's big stuff. And it appeared, what was it saying? Swing low, sweet chariot. Coming forth to carry me home. Swing low, sweet chariot. Coming forth to carry me home. What was it? My mom and them used to say, well, if you get there before I do, coming forth to carry me home. I wish I could sing. I wish I was a good singer. But that chariot came down. Elijah went up in that chariot. Elisha's standing there waiting on that mantle. Elisha is standing there waiting on that mantle. He's been pursuing the man of God, Elijah. I mean, for pouring water over his hands for 9 years, traveling with him longer than that. He's heard every sermon, no doubt. Elijah preached to him one-on-one. He preached to him not just publicly speaking. He wasn't there just for his public sermon. He preached to him one-on-one. I mean, they exchanged thoughts. I mean, they had table talk. They were sitting down together. They preached to each other. What is Elijah doing? He's mentoring this man of God, Elisha. He's cast his mantle on him. He's mentoring him. I mean, he wants him to know his mentorship, his personality, his character. Everything Elijah is, he's wanting to invest in Elijah. That is the story of a real man of God passing his mantle to the next man of God, to the next generation. How many of you realize this mantle is not just a generation mantle, it's generational. I mean, how many of you know the Lord said we're going to have three, if we live our days, we'll live 70 years. And if we're strong enough, we'll live 10 more. It's not just a generation, it's generational. Man, Elijah goes up in this chariot of fire. The Lord took him to home to heaven. Elisha's the only man in the Bible that seen the Lord coming, taking his people home. Study it with me. He's the only man in the Bible that seen the coming of the Lord take a man out of this world to heaven. He took him out in a chariot of fire, led by horses of fire. But what took him out of here? A whirlwind. He was caught up in a whirlwind. And so Elijah is taken to heaven. But guess what God didn't take with him? God didn't take his mantle. I feel like preaching this today. God didn't take his mantle. God didn't take his ministry. God didn't take his anointing. God didn't take the miracles. God didn't take the love of God and the love for ministry with him. No, he didn't. He didn't take it. He left it. And Elisha, guess what he did? Oh, man, can you imagine how he was feeling it, man? I mean, he's feeling it. The mantle. He reaches down and he picks up the mantle. How many of you know you got to pick this mantle up? It fell to the ground, but he didn't leave it laying on the ground. You got to pick this mantle up. Man, he gets down. I mean, he picks this mantle up. I can see him. He hugs this mantle. He knows. He knows where this mantle's been. He knows this mantle has been a powerful, powerful weapon against the enemy. Full of miracles. Full of ministry. This mantle overcome heartaches. It overcome hardships. This mantle, I mean, let me stop and say, ministry's not easy, folks. If you're here sitting here thinking about ministry, I'm going to tell you it's not easy. Ministry can be tough. Ministry is for, it's for a man's work. I'm not discounting women. It's for tough people. He picks this mantle up. He runs down to the Jordan River with it. Now, Elijah's already thrown this mantle on before his death on Jordan, and Jordan rolled back. It split hither and thither. I mean, Jordan divided. Yeah. Elijah's got this mantle. He throws it down on the Jordan River. And Jordan rolls back. Wow. Man, you talk about a shout down. I'd say he had a shout down because Jordan rolled back. That told him, you've got it, man. You've got it. You've got Elijah's mantle. You've got the power. Jordan rolled back. He's crossed Jordan on dry ground. That tells me he had a new adventure. He was going to take new territory. Elijah's ministry had not died. It had not stopped. It was taking new ground. He crossed Jordan with it. A new adventure, taking new territory, taking on a new crowd, preaching to more people, seeing more miracles. Elijah said, when he was going, he said, man, I want, ask me what you want. He said, I want a double portion of the spirit and the power of God that's upon Elijah. Man, I want to tell you something. What that tells me is he wanted double the ministry of Elijah. I believe he got it. Because, you know, I've read where Elijah performed 14 miracles. Then I read where Elisha, 28 miracles. I mean, he was a great man of God. How many of you realize God wants us to have an expanding ministry? God wants us to have an expanding ministry. Elijah had a great ministry known as a prophet of fire. He had an expanding ministry. But when it come his time to depart, God wasn't done with him. He wasn't done with the ministry. He didn't want the mantle to go into the ground. He passed that mantle on to Elisha. And Elisha picked it up. And Elisha run with it. How many of you realize he done better with it than Elijah did? His ministry went further than Elijah's ministry. I think about Moses. Moses, that great man of God. I mean, Jesus came a prophet like unto Moses. But when Moses, in Moses' ministry, he led the people to the Canaan land. But, you know, his mantle didn't fall to the ground. His mantle fell to Joshua. What did Joshua do? He led the children of God on into the promised land. I believe this is the heart of God. This is the will of God for ministry. My ministry here is not to go in the ground and when my day is over, it's to fall in this house upon this ministry, these ministries and these people. Amen. God wants ministry to live on. It's not a one generation ministry. It's a generational ministry. And God wants you to do better than I've done. He wants your ministry to be greater than my ministry. Amen. Oh, somebody ought to say hallelujah this morning. Hallelujah to the Lamb. I'm thinking about ministry. Moses passed his ministry to Joshua. Joshua must have passed his ministry through the judges. He passed it on to Samson. Samson fumbled it up. But the ministry was passed on through the Old Testament to John the Baptist. John the Baptist, when he seen the Lord there at the Jordan River, he said, man, he said, I want you, I'm to be baptized. Jesus said, baptize me, John. No. He said, I need to be baptized with you. But at the Jordan River, he said, Jesus, my ministry must decrease. At the Jordan River, he said, I'm preaching off the top of my head. I ain't got the notes on there. I'm preaching off the top of my head. At the Jordan River, he said, my ministry must decrease. My ministry is going, there's going to be an end of the day. There's going to be a time that my head's going to be cropped. But your ministry must increase. I mean, I'm preaching on the passing of the mantle. I'm preaching on the passing of the mantle. Amen. That mantle, when it falls on the next person, when that mantle falls in the house of God, how many of you realize God wants that mantle to have increase? That mantle is to never stay just with one generation. That manna was always passed from Moses to Joshua, through the judges, through the Samuel. How many of you realize Samuel? Oh, let me stop here just for a minute. Let me get my head to working. I'm talking about that mantle. I don't know how this fits in. I don't know how to fit this. Saul wouldn't give David his mantle. Saul would not give David his mantle. In the cave of Adullam, now keep in your mind, when David cut his skirt off, his heart smote him. But in the cave of Adullam, he cut Saul's skirt off. What did he do? He took the mantle. That skirt was his mantle. Now, Samuel had already poured the anointing all over David. David was in line for the kingship. Even Jonathan knew it. And Saul noted it as well. It was a known factor. But when he took that skirt off, he took that mantle. I'm talking about that mantle just for a minute. I'm talking about Joseph just for a quick moment. Jacob gave Joseph his mantle. What was that mantle? That mantle was that coat of many colors. Now his son stripped it off of him. How many realize sometimes it's like wrestling a bear to hang on to this mantle? It's like wrestling a bear to hang on to this mantle. I mean, his brother stripped this mantle off of him. They put him in a well. They put him in a pit. They seen that camel train come and sold him for 20 pieces of silver into slavery. What they didn't realize was that coat was a coat of many colors. It was a coat of many facets, many talents, many gifts, many abilities. It was a coat of leadership. I mean, when Joseph down there in the land of Egypt, that dark place of famine, what did he do? He provided a homeland for the children of God, for Jacob and all of his family. What was that coat of many colors? That was Jacob's mantle to Joseph. Amen. I'm talking about that mantle this morning. How many of you realize there's a mantle going to fall in this house one day? Who's willing to pursue the mantle? Who's willing to hang with the man of God until it's time for it to go? Who's willing to pursue him? Who's willing to pour water over his hands? Who's willing to help set up his meetings? Who's willing to do all the work around the house of God to help the man of God in the finishing days of his life? Brother, I'm going to tell you, Elisha was willing to do it. He said, I'm your man. I'm your man, God. I'll pursue the prophet of God. He pursued him until he was taken up into heaven and picked that mantle up and ran with it. I feel like preaching today. Hallelujah. We're talking about the mantle. John the Baptist, he passed that mantle on to Jesus. But you know, I'm thinking in Acts 1, when that cloud came and picked Jesus up, and he went to heaven in that cloud. The Bible said the same Jesus you seen going away is coming in the like manner as you seen him go. Jesus didn't take the mantle with him. That mantle fell to the apostles. That mantle fell to the 12. That mantle fell to the 70. That mantle fell to the upper room where they got filled with the Holy Ghost and fire. That mantle fell to the early church. I'm telling you, that mantle's to keep falling. Brother, Jesus said, I'm coming after a church, and I'm coming after one without spot, without blemish. I'm coming after a sanctified body. I'm coming after a dedicated people. I'm coming after a people that's addicted to the ministry. I'm coming after a people that loves me doing with all their heart and with all their soul. Yeah, yeah, yeah. That mantle will be on somebody. It'll be on some people. It'll be on some churches until Jesus comes in the clouds of glory to take his people home. Talking about that mantle.